I want to share something with you. So get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." Amen. Now I want you to go over to the book of Psalms 105. Psalms 105:13. It says, "And they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, 'Touch not my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm.'" Okay, now I want you to go over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, verse 20. "But you," everybody say that, he's talking about me, "have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." And you go look down at verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Amen? So you got a scripture here that says it's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. You got a Psalms 105 says that he called, anointed his people. He called his people the anointed ones. See in 1 John 2 and 20 that you have an anointing. It says you have abiding on you the Holy Ghost, which is the anointing that's going to teach you. So basically what I'm saying to you in these few scriptures here is that, wow, you're really anointed. Now, I'm going to go over here in a minute to back to the book of Jonah and show y'all something. But, you know, a lot of times we get taught, and it's been really flippant in the charismatic world to throw the word anointing around. And say, "Oh, well, you know, man, I was really anointed," or this is da 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 da. Honestly, my opinion, thus saith Robert Richards, I don't think you get more anointed and less anointed. I think you get more out of the flesh and into the spirit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the anointing varies any. I think you just sometimes are more sensitive because you're not in the flesh. Does that make sense? I mean, it goes right along with what it is about walking in the Spirit, you know? We think about walking in the Spirit and, you know, but truly walking in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, you just don't walk in the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. Does that make sense? You know, if you just do what the Bible tells you to do, do what the Word says, you forgive, you know, repent, do the things that we got to do to get our hearts cleaned up around that, you'll end up walking in the Spirit, whether you realize it or not, because you're just not in the flesh, right? And so, with the word anointing, the scripture in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, because always is so impressed me, because it says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I've noticed over my whole life and walking with Jesus that when I'm in his will and in his plan and I'm doing what I know and have confidence in that he has told me to do, it seems like it's easier. Huh? Than if I'm over here just trying to figure my pathway out through the bushes. Does that make sense? And when you're doing what he's calling you to do, it's like the anointing goes before you and just starts breaking yokes or getting limbs out of the way. Getting the stumbling blocks out of the way, the problems out of the way, whatever. All right? Okay, so I want you to go over here back to the book of Jonah. And I want to show you a couple of things here. I'm going to look at verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 first. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now what now? It didn't say that an angel appeared to him. It didn't say that, you know, it was a burning bush. It didn't say that. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So how does the word of the Lord come to Jonah? How did it come to him? Okay, but he just heard it, I guess, right? In his heart, just like we hear the word of the Lord in our heart. So I'm amazed at this guy that was sensitive enough to hear the word of the Lord, immediately turned and went, like I showed you the map, he took off on a journey going 2,500 miles the wrong direction. Now, I began to think about this, wondering, because the scriptures don't really tell us how quickly they got in the storm. There's no specific date here that, you know, but if they were planning on going from Joppa to Tarsus and it's a 2,500 mile trip, I mean, it's going to take them a while. Wouldn't like they just got in the boat and throwed it back and, you know, a couple hours they were there. We know he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So I don't know if the fish was swimming full bore for 3 days and three nights back to spit him out on the bank. In Israel? I don't know. You know, there's just some guessing I'm doing here, so just got to give me a little bit of rope here, you know. So let's say that whole trip was 2 weeks. And that may be short. You know what I'm saying? I may be cutting it short. But let's just give me 2 weeks here, okay? So Jonah's whole adventure from the time that he heard the word of the Lord. And well, it could even be longer than that because I don't know exactly. Because it says here, he went down to Joppa, so he had to do some traveling to Joppa. It wasn't like he jumped on the bus or the plane, right? He had to walk, so I don't know how long that took. I don't know how long it took him from the time he heard the word of the Lord till he went to Joppa, till he got on the boat, to the ship, the fish swallowed him and sent him back. Okay, let's just say it was 3 weeks. So, he heard God's voice. 3 weeks he goes off in the wrong direction. Then he gets spit back up on the bank, right? All right, and so let's just say 3 weeks have transpired. He's prayed the rest of chapter 2. He's prayed down the belly of the well. He's done that, and so it says in chapter 3, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying. So he's heard God's voice twice. The first time he ran and spent 3 weeks through the whole ordeal, he's gone back. Now he's up on the shore. God speaks to him, and he tells him, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh. Now, I can tell you that if he spit him out on the bank. There's no ocean around Nineveh, right? Because it's in modern day Iraq, so it's kind of in the middle of nowhere in the desert there. So it couldn't have spit him that far. So if he was in from Joppa to Nineveh, it's 550 miles. So I don't know. I'm going to give him that he could walk 20 miles a day. I mean, he could have done more, but if he walked 20 miles a day, it had still taken him a month almost to get to Nineveh. All I'm saying is that we read the Bible from chapter 1, and then we get over to chapter 3, and then we see Jonah gets to Nineveh and starts preaching, and it just looks like it just like, okay, he just went off, he went on the boat, right, he got swallowed by the fish, spit back up, goes over there and does this. But there was, could have been 2 months have passed from the time he heard the word of the Lord to the time he started preaching in Nineveh. Now, you know, everybody says timing is everything. So I was praying about this and reading, and I was kind of laughing. I was saying, okay, Lord, did you know it was going to take him 2 months? So you were already 2 months ahead Yeah. God's sitting there saying, well, I might as well go ahead and speak to Jonah and tell him to go because I know he's going to run, and then we're going to get him back over here, and then he's going to get here, and the fish are going to get swallow him, and then he's going to get over here and throw him, and then he's going to walk over there, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it works, folks. I'm just saying my mind was just going with all of this. And it made me start to think about, look what happens here in chapter 3. So in verse 3, he says, So Jonah rose, he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a three-day journey to extent. So it's saying it would take 3 days to walk through the whole city. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day he walked, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put sackcloth on the great, from the greatest unto the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid aside his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by a decree from the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast or herd or flock taste anything, and do not let them eat or drink water, and let the man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster, and he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, let's just put that in perspective. A guy comes into town, nobody knows. And he starts saying, what does he say exactly here? 40 days, and God's going to destroy the city, right? That was his right. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So this guy just comes walking into town saying, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. It reminds me of the guy, the street preacher you see that has a big sign that says, repent, you know, whatever. And he just comes down the street. Doesn't say he preached a message. Doesn't say that he even declared the word of God. It didn't even say that he said, you know, I serve the great Jehovah God. You need to repent and turn to him. You know, doesn't say he didn't. He just went through the city on a three-day journey. And when he got to the end of it, the king had repented. Everybody had repented. Everybody's turning there. All the animals can't drink. Nobody. Everybody's fasting, praying. Now, folks, if that is not truly the anointing of God moving on a city, you know, if that's not a miracle, it's like I've always said about Billy Graham. I mean, Billy Graham was anointed to do what he did because he did not preach that good. It was just the perfect, it was in the right time and the right place doing what God told him to do. And he just gave that altar call and people just come out of there and just thousands of people went down to the front and gave their lives to Jesus and were affected and have been affected generations after that because of the perfect time and doing what God told him to do. Each and every one of you have a mission and a purpose in life. Each and every one of you is a Jonah, in a sense, preaching to Nineveh. Every one of you, you have families to raise, you have businesses to run, you have family members that, you know, are out there, you got this, you got that, you've got all these situations, but God has, according to 1 John 2 and 20, anointed you. And he's anointed you for a purpose. And that anointing that's upon your life that he's given to you breaks yokes. Now, we may not always see cities repenting, but that doesn't mean that your city isn't repenting. You follow what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that your city has to be in chaos. I learned a long time ago that I cannot live my life by what's happening around me in other people's lives. I have to live my life according to the Word of God and moving forward with the Word of God, seeing what's going on because my life has got to have that anointing, yoke-breaking, destroying life to it, and it's got to go on no matter what's going on around me. I wish to see an anointing like that, that just the whole city. I mean, what an easy thing to do. I mean, Bob, you don't even have to carry the cross. You don't even have to unload it. Right? And you have to mess with unloading. You just repent. 40 days, the city's going to be destroyed, and everybody's just like, ugh. During the Great Awakening in America, it was like that. The preachers, when they would go to town and preach before they would even get there, the town would be under conviction. There'd be people shutting down saloons and bars and houses of prostitution, stuff like that, and people would just be repenting on the streets before, like somebody like Charles Finney ever got to town. Folks, that's just God. You cannot make it happen. You cannot faith it to happen. You cannot sit around. You can ask Him. You can pray. You can believe God. But things like that is just God descending down upon it. But in your life, your personal life, it should be God descending down upon it each and every day, because you have chosen to not be the Jonah who is going to Tarsus, but you're the Jonah who's going to Nineveh. It all has to do with the heart. And as you walk in your life and you walk in agreement, and you're walking that path, that anointing begins to go before you and destroy the yokes. One of the Proverbs I was reading, I can't even recall which one it was this morning, was talking about that God loves truth. Well, think about that. That's why then he says he hates lying. Well, why does God love truth so much? Because the truth is his word. And when his word is coming out of your mouth and his word is going forth, then he's moving. He's got somewhere to work. And you need to wake up every morning and you need to remind yourself of these scriptures. That according to 1 John 2 and 20, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You know all things today. Man, according to verse 27, the anointing of God is working in me and teaching me. According to Isaiah 10 and 27, the anointing of God is going before me and is breaking and destroying the yokes that are ever getting in front of me today. And then the chaos that falls around you, you just keep walking. Keep doing what God's telling you to do. And then you're going to walk in victory and you're going to see victory. It would be like a battlefield, and the first shot that's fired and the first soldier that fell to the ground that was shot dead from the enemy, and everybody said, oh, wait a minute, we better stop. We'd never win a battle. And you know, in this craziness going on in the world, I'm really, 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 really shocked. And I've been telling myself, quit saying that, quit being shocked, Robert, that there are people that believe so absolutely 100% opposite of what I do and are fully well convinced that they're right. And I'm just like, how can you believe that? In my mind, I'm thinking that. Whether I hear it on television or I hear it on the radio or somebody's talking about it, it's just like, how could that possibly be in your thinking? How could that possibly be? And I'm wasting time, you know, being awed by it. Because the truth is, that's just the world we live in today. And to them, I'm strange and weird, you know, but I know it's right. And I would rather have the presence of God with me in my life and walking in that than anything on the face of this earth. Now, when you're walking in that anointing, mountains move. But you got to tell them to get out of the way. Mountains move, but you got to talk to them. You got to speak to them. You got to keep something going. You've got to keep speaking truth out of your mouth. As long as truth's flowing out of your mouth, you're going to see victory flowing in you. Amen? You got to keep it going. No matter how, you know, weary you may be, you got to keep it going, because that's the only thing that's going to work. Amen? So, I just felt like tonight that the Lord's just, I mean, that's basically it. You got to get this. You need to dwell on this. These scriptures, you need to dwell on them and dwell on them, dwell on them, eat them, man. You got an anointing. No matter what's going on, listen, the Holy Ghost on the inside of you will show you whatever you need to do. And it's a whole lot easier to just say, oh, okay, Lord, you want me to go to Nineveh? All right. Than it is to go through all the mess Jonah went through. Getting swallowed up, spit up, and all this kind of stuff like this, you know, having to go down to the depths of the oceans in the belly of a whale. And I mean, you know, that's got to be kind of, talk about needing freedom prayer when that was over with. That'll scar you. You know, I could see Jonah sitting around the campfire. Everybody's complaining about everything. He says, hey, have you been in the belly of a whale before? He always had the one-up story, you know. Oh, that's what happened to you. But listen to this. Right? Amen? So you guys are blessed. Anointed of God. Accomplish anything in the world. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to pray for you right now before we even take up the offering. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just declare that whatever each and every one of us are going through in life, wherever we are, what's taking place, I just thank you, Lord, that the anointing of God on the inside of us is strong enough to break and destroy any yokes. I declare that, Lord, discouragement or despair or anything that would sidetrack anybody or chaos going on around us that would get us distracted, I just declare right now in Jesus' name, all that's broken, all that's over with. All that's gone. All that junk's out there. Lord, we know what we're doing. We know where we're going. We know what you've called us to do. We want to go to Nineveh. We want to preach. We want to have the Nineveh experience in our lives, Lord. And I just declare that that yoke-breaking anointing is destroying every and each and everything in our lives that gets in the way. And Lord, now just seal this by the Holy Ghost in their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I look at the person beside you and say, you got it. Praise God.